I'm going to get going.
Yeah. While the parents and the teachers and everybody trying to preach to the kids, the young generation, yo, what's
no,
the
deal, bro? Good. Good.
Oh, man. I don't know what the deal is. You have to ask my partner, they don't pay.
Yo, yo, tell us,
right there,
tell
us, smidge. This is Coach.
It's just another case of bad OPTA.
Yeah, okay. LMS, I like that.
And that's
how you, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Like that? Cheers.
Salute.
We're wrapping up. We're wrapping up a school year. We're wrapping up. We're wrapping up our first 20 episodes.
So we are redoing 20. This is episode 20 Redux.
This is the Redux.
I like that.
Okay. Because the discussion we had kind of led us to some questions that I think that we should ask Christian. Oh, we didn't introduce our guest.
Wait a minute.
So tonight's efforts are unofficially sponsored by Cavazier Fall Brewing and who's that over there? Ale Smith.
Speedway Stout.
Uh-huh. And we got to throw out the usual disclaimers that any of the opinions contained herein belong to ourselves only, and in no way, shape, or form do they reflect those of our employer or any of the associations that we work for, right?
So, agreed.
In the house, we got Mr. A, right? My boy Rodrigo. What up?
What up, what up, what up?
Glad to finish out a school year with you, 20 episodes with you. I'll save the compliments for later. Let's introduce our guest. Let's introduce our guest. My man, Mr. Moreno, is in the house. Get him on them Twitters, as we say, right? En los pajaritos, right? Yes, how do you say that? Is that how you say it?
Pajaritos?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. My man, Mr. Moreno, is in the house. He is a dedicated podcast listener. One of the first to get those t-shirts, the podcast t-shirts.
He's a subscriber. Early subscriber.
Early subscriber,
before,
man,
the paywall. I like that. Okay.
I think there's him and then there's Nick Segura that text me like, yo, I'm all cut up. You need to come out with a new ep.
Hashtag Nikki Segs.
Hashtag Nikki Segs. So, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Moreno. What's up?
Nothing much, dude. Just put the kids down to sleep, so.
Sounds great. Okay, so you have, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. So, you have two little ones.
Yeah, I have Abraham, who is going to be 3, and Samuel, who is going to be 1.
Right on. So, we got interrupted by my two little ones, the 6-year-old and the 2-year-old,
mm-hmm,
and then you got two too, right?
I got two, an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old, and my 5-year-old just promoted. He's going to go to one of the local elementary schools.
Promoted, and my favorite line from the day.
What was that?
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Did you see that?
Tommy, what do you want to be when you grow up?
My Instagram is private, but I might add you if you seem reputable.
Just right? This post alone.
If there's not a half-naked picture. Right? Girls. And so I posted up a picture of my son in his graduation outfit. They took a picture of the kids and they asked him what they wanted them to be, when they grew up. And my son said he wanted to be an ice cream man.
Yeah, baby. I just saw that one. Yes.
Your man knows what he's doing.
My man has aspirations.
Entrepreneurship.
So a lot of the time, my father-in-law picks him up from school, and my father-in-law is a big sweet freak. So I know these dudes go back to the pad, and they just munch on sweets.
That's it.
So I don't know if that's where that comes from, but I think that's where that comes from.
But see, he's going to end up just owning the whole, he's not going to be an ice cream man. He'd be like one of those, what is it, the ice chemistry? All kinds of Cold Stone things.
This is the first time I've heard that, so I was taken aback when I read Ice Cream Man.
Now, we see Candace does that activity, because my wife is actually a teacher too, first grade teacher. Mm. But she does that activity at the beginning of the year too. Well, what are you going to be when you grow up? And they have these little signs. One was like, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a fireman. I want to be in the circus. And I was like, yes. You win. You do that. Keep doing that. That's good.
There's something different about you. We can build.
Yeah, that's who. I mean,
I'm gonna invite
Can't teach creativity yet. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna invite you to the party. All these other little nah. Anyway, so let's
squares,
get back.
Squares. All those squares. They're coming.
Let's get back to Mr. Moreno. Look, you're kind of a guest, but you're kind of a co-host today. You're gonna help us round out the year together.
Okay. So,
but we are gonna ask you the usual question.
Okay.
Where'd you go to high school, man? Where'd you go to school at?
I went to Stillwater High School.
Okay, your local boy. Local to the podcast.
Yeah, but I would like to say that I went to Granger first.
Okay.
Just because.
Very good, very good. I was going to ask you the middle school.
Yeah, no, only because now I teach middle school, mm-hmm. even though Granger is a junior high school.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I think even though National City is so small and you have two middle schools / junior high schools, Granger got labeled as, like, the bad side, you know? It's close to I'm blanking.
Lincoln
Paradise Eaters? Hills, Paradise Hills area. Uh-huh. And all the quote-unquote good kids were always National City Middle.
Really?
And yeah. So I think I had that stigma, like, early. Like, oh, you're from Granger. Like, I don't know if you're going to make it.
Or,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being a first-generation American and being a new to what it was to be American, my parents were not, you know, educated.
Yeah.
Third grade education, sixth grade education, not speaking the language. Even still, my dad thinks he speaks English. Trust me, he does not speak English.
It's cold.
Yeah, well, it's
cold, bro. Hey, cold. Man.
You know, but yeah. And then from there, I went to Sweetwater and Austin 3 years, and that was it.
So who made a difference, man? Give me some teachers' names. Give me a count or something, man.
There's two, and there's, well, you know, Miss Casillas, who was not Miss Casillas back then in elementary school. And,
okay.
And I'm my, she was a, my third and fourth grade teacher.
Okay. Oh, wow. So Miss Casillas is my Tia Maria's sister.
Oh,
my Tia Maria, as Rodrigo likes to call her. Yeah, she's the mayor of Chula Vista. Her name's Mary Salas.
Your Tia Maria.
So Miss Casillas is Mary's sister.
Yeah. And then and then my fifth and sixth grade teacher was Miss Svensson. And dude, she was just like a hard ass. And I mean, I had to do so much work for, it was like Common Core before it was Common Core. She had like those strategies of inquiry and, you know, you figure it out for yourself and be independent. You know what I mean? And
like, Caesar's giggling because what? Because it's, yeah, the Common Core before was Common Core. That was called regular teaching.
Is that what that was?
Exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
No, and she really pushed me to do like something that I do now with my kids, like make them do research and make them come up with their own opinions.
Right.
I'm not going to give you the answer. You can't just go
figure
read your
it
book.
Out.
Right, figure it out. And then discuss why you think that's the right answer. Back it up with some facts or some research.
Mm.
And then my 12th grade English teacher was Miss Hall, who still teaches there. And we're friends on Facebook. And she's super nice. And she remembers her leaving just like a really good impression of, you know, to connect with your students and really like love your students. As corny as it is, like I took a lot from that 1 year of 12th grade English.
Nice.
So,
all right. Cool. And did you always know you was going to college? Was that kind of a given after a certain amount of time, man? Was you a schoolie?
I wasn't the. That was me. I hit the table. I was in the GATE program. That was an honors program. Okay. I took AP courses, but my parents never pushed me to go to college. It was right. For me. It was kind of like, oh, I'm on my own and I'm going to do it. You know. Especially, it was weird from that area because you had kids who were also in this and they didn't think they were going to college. They never heard of, like, oh, you're going to go to college. Like,
foreign concept.
Yeah, it was odd to me. Mm-hmm. Even though nobody told me anything, I felt like, oh, I'm being kind of tracked for this. You know, I'm having all these classes. I'm having the same group of people in all my classes and I'm going to go to college.
What about the whole teacher thing, man? You just knew you wanted to be one, or you kind of fell into this, or what?
I always felt like I wanted to teach something. Well, I knew my parents didn't know what it was to be like American. They didn't speak a language, they didn't do anything. So I always kind of like was that in between person. I was always translating for them. I was always being the person who was like trying to guide them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But later on, like when I was at State, I was a social science single subject teacher. I mean, a major. Oh, so okay. I knew I was specifically going to be targeting towards social science. Like I knew it.
But it's all that coloring the net of the maps, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Cause
I had to get a social science.
Just ask him how many maps did you color?
I didn't. It was not about that though. It was very history related.
Uh-huh.
But my my credential or my degree in my underclass classes I took credential courses.
Hmm.
So I was being set up to liberal studies major.
That's cool.
Right. Okay. Then I took like a 6-year break and I went back to school.
So let me tell you how the invite went down for you, okay? So we
well, that's because I want... Oh, yeah. I definitely need to figure out how you guys are related, right?
How we're related?
Or not related, but how do you guys know each other? Because...
Oh, you're going to cut into my line of questioning then and shit and just ask me?
Just like straight up, dude.
Just straight up ask how I know this guy?
Bogart it. Because before anybody else... I mean, I need to figure out who the hell this guy's in my house drinking beers.
Speedway stouts. Yeah. So I know Christian because he came to Otay Ranch as a student teacher.
Oh, right on. Okay.
And then he was hired for a year, right, before he went on to East Lake Middle. So okay, that's cool. How I knew him. And you know what? We don't always invite student teachers into the circle. Christian he's in the circle, bro.
Well, not because now he's not a student teacher.
We've had several student teachers come through our school.
Nice. Some of them are suckers.
Some of them.
Some of them are suckers. You know what
they
saying?
Just ain't got what it takes to make it into the circle. The circle of friends. You okay, understand? There's a few of us teachers that enjoy hanging out with each other, eating at lunch, talking stuff, whatever. Sometimes people come in. Sometimes they get kicked out.
Twice removed. The circle.
But Mr. Moreno has made it and stayed in the circle.
I like that. Okay.
Okay. Okay. But the invite for today went down because we were trying to record the wrap-up episode a couple of days ago. And I was talking about how I've always felt one of my weaknesses was doing reviews for end of course exams. And then your assignment came up. And then the fact that you were a new teacher came up. So there was a line of questioning there that I felt was important that Rodrigo was asking about teachers not stepping outside of their comfort zone. Right. So anyways, that's where this invite came from. You might not have made it on the show until next year. Unless it came
otherwise,
out.
otherwise, well done, Caesar.
So we had an impromptu meeting at Sanctum Ale House. I pumped that up on the podcast before, and you brought out your assignment, and we were all checking that out. Talk to us about that, man. We were kind of enthused about it. I wanted to make my own.
Yeah, tell us. So I couldn't figure out a way to get them to really review. I give him kids study guide before. I'm sure you have too. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they ask me is it mandatory? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, do it. But even if it's not mandatory, you should still do it because you have to review. Mm-hmm. But they don't. So I try to come up with a way to make it interesting and make it fun. So we are, our semesters are divided into four critical areas of study. So for this semester, it was all Europe, Eurocentric. So we have the Renaissance, so medieval Europe, we have the Renaissance, the Reformation, and we have exploration. These are all ancient history. So I told them, all right, within this critical area, we've discussed 3 to 4 essential questions for today. Mm. So I want you to pick one topic from each section and make a meme out of it. Mm-hmm. And these kids are like, oh my God, this is the best assignment ever. I'm like, all right, but here are some rules.
Here's some guidelines.
Here's some actual directions to follow. So I looked it up and I wanted to make something very like, almost like checkpoint, like check marks.
Mm-hmm. Your rubric is up to grade?
Yeah. So you're...
Because goodness knows, we're not trying to grade that stuff.
You know what no, I'm saying? No. It's like it's end of the year. It was like the week before. You know what I mean?
But no, true, I totally get it. Don't give yourself more work, dude.
Yeah. So what I had them do is just put a picture, and I told them do not pick like Kermit drinking his tea, and don't have like the
triumphant.
You know what I mean? But wait. Don't have the triumphant kid but you can use these images if you like superimpose somebody's famous
face on there.
Face on it because that would make sense.
Okay. Right? Okay.
You know, like there is creative. And you can be a little more creative.
Right.
But if you pick a picture, make sure the white letters or whatever, it makes sense.
Right.
And then you explain why it makes sense.
Right.
So there's a little paragraph attached to it. Like, why is it
important? Justification.
Yeah. Like explain your reasoning why this is an important concept for this critical area. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. They did four, one for each area. And then they had to do one more, which was an extra credit one.
Right on. So they all made these memes. What was the first thing when you started getting? Did you guys do like drafts or was it
no? I just went. I gave it to them a week before. The week before I was gonna collect them. Mm-hmm. So like the Friday, I'm like, this is what we're gonna do. Download this assignment from Jupyter because we still use Jupyter. Nice. Download this assignment. These are the guidelines. Do it, and if you have questions, you know, you can see me during the week, and I can help you with it. Right. And let's see where we're at, you know? So the kids were coming in, and it was just funny to hear myself say, like, make sure you turn in your memes. You know, like, that was, like, an actual assignment. Like, make sure you take your watch, you're doing your memes.
Right.
And these kids were, like, laughing and making all these, like, historical jokes. I was like, man, this is good. The fact that they're discussing with somebody else and double-checking their work, does this make sense to you? Right. And they're like, oh, yeah, it does. Oh, okay, I get it. You know, it was so good. And I'm doing mine. And I gave my kids an option to do half of them in Spanish because
it's a dual language
class. And sometimes the humor that you read in these English memes won't translate over to Spanish. Right. So I gave them the option of, you know, doing two and two.
Right on. So let's see. And when you look back, when they look back, I imagine what's going to happen is they're going to remember that assignment over all the other assignments that you did this year because there was more. They identified with it more. It wasn't like it wasn't coloring the map. It wasn't just making a tri-board fucking poster or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the meme idea is great. I mean, I think I sent you that article about that. I want to say it was a private school in Austin, Texas that had that same meme. Just the same.
You didn't send me the article, bro, but you saw it.
I saw it. So what was great was,
I'll give you that.
It was the same mm-hmm. idea. They had to come and present something using a meme and then whatever, use some sort of social media. And so the student was talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline and, you know, all this misinformation that's coming out of the news and what's actually happening. So the meme he chose, it was that there's a screenshot of a freeze frame of a porn, and it says, "It's so fucking big," into the subtitles. And that's what the first thing was. That's the first slide that came up. And everybody on Twitter just went like, "Oh my god, is this blah 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 blah?"
I do remember that.
Okay,
but that wasn't the assignment. That's just what the student chose to do.
No, that was the assignment to use social media and memes and creating whatever blah blah blah. And I'm telling you, I was like, "Oh my god!" I was laughing at least for an hour, dude. Just like, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he did that. When you read the comments of everybody on Twitter, they're just like, "I can't believe he did that."
Did you retweet that story? Did you retweet it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's on my timeline.
So if they scroll past all the PBL chat and stuff, they can find it somewhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You'll find it out somewhere.
Somewhere.
Somewhere in them Twitters.
In them Twitters. So did you take any of your products, your students' products, and take a picture or tweet it or anything like that?
I did. I tweeted it. And you know what? It got tons. And I don't have a lot of followers on it. And I only follow people just like education, it's news. And, but for some reason, it got tons of traction.
Okay.
And it got like tons of retweets and tons of likes. And people were commenting from all over the country. And I've never had that experience before.
Uh-huh.
But it was cool just to see that people are using it and people were tagging somebody else and like, "Oh, try this. Oh, this sounds like your assignment." And it was kind of cool. Nobody asked you for instructions. Nobody asked. I got some cool people saying, like, "You should try this next time." And I looked at it. I was like, "That's right. That sounds like a cool idea to improve this."
Okay. You know? Okay. Actually, I think I remember that and I might have responded to it. So those of you that want to look up Mr. Moreno on them Twitters, you can find that assignment or at least the products of that assignment. Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
At Mr. Moreno's class.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah. At Mr. Moreno class. See, me giving out the wrong handle and shit. You good for nothing right now, bro. Bueno para nada. Damn.
So if you scroll past the hashtag SUHSD learn stuff that Mr. Moreno's class has, you'll find his assignment on there. It's dope. Yeah.
Whoa.
So the line of questioning that we were getting to, though, also was something along the lines of, you know, what makes a teacher like, you know, a new teacher like yourself step a little bit outside of the bounds of comfort to do something like that for the students, right? I mean.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about just like, okay, so that's great that you did that. Why aren't we doing it more, right? And what is it that new teachers really kind of are scared of? What are new teachers not scared of? And one of the things that we came up, well, that I said was just, new teachers are afraid to fail, and
that was exactly what I was
saying. There's a lot on the line, and you think that again. You think that there's so much riding on that one lesson, and then you have some. I just found out you have some administrators who are just asking for lesson plans for 3 weeks of just like, the fuck are you doing?
At some schools, man, they do.
And that's to me, that's bogus, man. And if you need a lesson plan for 3 weeks straight, then and you stick to them, you're not doing. You're their kid's missing. You know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because I guarantee you, the moment you put out that plan, everything changes when that kid just kind of does what he normally does, which is the unpredictable. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So
I kind of know what you're saying, but what are you saying? Children are unpredictable.
Children are
the
unpredictable.
Lesson never goes as planned.
Lesson never goes as planned.
And you have to be willing to adapt
to everything.
To everything.
So that's why I don't understand how administrators or principals or assistant principals are requiring weekly lesson plans. Like,
I know so you can't talk bad about principals yet because it's not your first day of your third year. But
Probe one, probe two. Okay, probe two.
And we'll get to the induction program later, maybe. So is what Rodrigo's saying about being afraid to fail, you know, resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I took a break after I got my BA was I didn't know if I could do it, and it was scared of failure, and I didn't know I was going to be good at it. I mean, I didn't step up. I've never been in a classroom before. I mean, I worked in a library setting my entire life, you know, and then finally,
I'm just like, wow, man.
Yeah,
you're the dude who had the discipline to be like, shh, guys, hey, psh.
I was in the back working on the books, and I had my headphones on. That was all I did. But I did that for since I was 16 all the way till I was 20 something until I finally decided. Or my wife decided for me. Hey, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? No, it's true. It's true. And you know, I had a 9-to-5 job, and I was making okay money, but I wasn't fulfilled. You know. Mm-hmm. And then we had a kid coming, Abraham. And then I was like, dude, what do I do? She's like, you got to figure out what you're gonna do, or
get your shit together.
Yeah, bro. Or
that's what she said.
Yeah, just I'll like. Work. And then, or you know, find something else to do. Mm-hmm. Go get another degree, but make something out of yourself. And I just took that leap, and that's where I quit my job, and I went full time to go student teaching. But the moment I got in there, though, I felt I got this. I got over this stage fright, and I just did it. And what I do is I just try it. Like, I'm not scared of failing. I took this big leap of quitting my job to do this. Mm. So
that's important.
So
right, I was gonna say like so. Once so I walked through the door,
right?
Was great.
If I took this leap, and this is what I tell my kids too. Like when I taught high school last year, I'm like, don't be scared to fail, because if you don't, you're always gonna regret. What if I didn't try it? What if I don't do this? Right. Look, I did it. I'm a prime example of doing it. And I just try things. I think of things in the shower, like at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, I'm gonna try this today. Forget my lesson that I just created. Forget all those copies. I'm gonna try something different, and I just do it. Right. If it doesn't work, you know, select your first period. But second period, we'll get something better. Third period, get something better.
We had this conversation.
Fourth period, fifth period, my prep, my favorite class. And, you know, just like, that's how I do it. I don't, these kids are going to be okay. They're going to be okay, and I'm going to be better by me trying something out.
Right.
That's what's up. When we originally started recording this episode, that was a part of our conversation about how as you go on teaching throughout the day, you kind of refine and you know what to expect from the students, you know?
Right.
That oddball question all of a sudden just becomes a normal question.
Right.
Something to build upon.
Yeah, and but see, the thing is, like, I don't lesson plan. Like, when people, I tend to,
you haven't had your first day of year three yet. What I mean is,
What I mean, I don't lesson plan is I don't write it down.
Oh, shit.
Like, I don't write it down. Like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember, like, when I first came to the district and I worked at Southwest Middle, we were very, like, this is the first time I'd ever been exposed to the learning targets, right? So
the daily learning targets, the DLTs,
right?
Whack.
And then you have, so they were telling us to draft these daily learning targets and then use these Bloom's taxonomy and use them in different colors. And And I just told my principal, I'm all, I don't know what the fuck, I'm going to tell you exactly what they're going to do today, and I'm going to tell you exactly why, what they're going to do, and what they're going to accomplish. These are the goals for today. That's it. You need to complete your balloon car. You need to finish the calculations for speed and velocity. Just that kind of stuff. That's what we need to do. But and I'm like, I wasn't feeling that, man. Fuck all that noise.
In a staff meeting, my principal came and said, well, you know, there's actually no data that really supports that DLTs actually help kids.
Yep.
So I'm just like, so why the fuck are we doing DLTs? I've never liked them. I put up essential questions on the board.
which is reasonable. I think that's not unreasonable, right?
Right. You should be able to answer this, or at least you should be able to articulate something about this question. One of my APs was not very happy when I told her, like, I don't put up DLTs, I put up essential questions. She had a look on her face like I just fed her a shit sandwich. Well done.
Oh my God. Are you serious? How are these kids going to know what they learned?
Like, I don't know if I should tell you you have to put up a DLT, or am I going to be quiet right now? She chose to be quiet. But, Yeah. I don't fuck with DLT.
And see, that's the thing.
End of the year roundup. We don't care about cussing. Cheers. Salute, one more time. Salute, end of the year. Yeah, that's right. All right, we're going to take a small break. Just sit back and chill out to this Mobb Deep right here. Survival of the fittest. Rest in peace. Prodigy. Queensbridge's finest. I want to thank all of our guests on the past 20 episodes. You make this podcast what it is. Education, sports, politics, just your usual hodgepodgery. We're going to come back into the interview. We're talking about daily learning targets. That's what DLTs are. It's what your teacher writes on the board for your student to look at and say, hey, this is what I'm going to learn in a certain amount of time, and this is the product that I'm going to come up with. All right, so we get back into the DLTs. Most of us don't like them. Some of us do. Here we go. Educated Guest Podcast, episode 20. What?
I had a really hard time with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just the stuff just to do it, just to do it. And the assumption that if everybody does it and the consistency happens, and then all of a sudden that kid who's not an asshole is going to stop being an asshole because there's a DLT up. And that's not my belief. I'm the relationships dude, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I use mine.
Here we go. I love it. Mr. Moreno's class. Let's go.
But this is why I use it. Uh-huh. And am I good about referencing it all the time? And I do the color thing too. I do that. Uh-huh. Is it keeps me organized. And because I'm new to this subject, new to seventh grade, and last year I had three preps, and now I was like, oh, thank God I only have one.
Yeah.
And I'm learning it. Sometimes I'm learning it like 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
The more in depth stuff. So I do have my board is like 4 panels.
Right.
And I have like my do now. So the moment the kids walk in partly because they're seventh grade and they need more structure.
Right.
So I'll be like, right now when you walk in, take out your notebook. And then the agenda, and then I have my essential question.
Oh, you do interactive notebooks?
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Dude, I love the notebooks.
There's nothing wrong with those, Rodrigo.
Well, the experience for me that I've seen has always... Yeah, the fucking gluing. You piece of shit. Oh, my God. I'm not a fan of the fucking interactive notebook. It's to me, again, it's I see where people's reasoning is, and I get what you want to do. We're just keeping everything together. It's easier to grade. But when you start using... maybe I've just seen it poorly executed. And that bad boy is worth like 50 to 60% of someone's grade.
Oh, nah.
Problematic.
Okay. I make it 30%, and what I do is, I mean, we're doing a lot of reading in my class. I kind of turned my class into a historical writing class.
Right.
And what I do is, why am I going to create a whole DBQ when I just gave you all this work? Now let's go back to this work and reference this text that you already have in your notebook, and then write something based on that.
So again, this is my question would be, right? Working with newer teachers, what assignments are they doing in their writing, and is there a way, like, did they have any voice in what the assignments were?
Yes.
So what kind of stuff?
If I give them something, let's say for example, reading on the Black Plague, and we're talking about how medieval Europe was declining, and I gave them all these different reasons why. Here is one paper, one assignment, one, you have to read it, annotate it, answer some questions based on it. Here's another reading, answer another couple of questions on it. Or, you know, here's another reading, what's a cause and effect that you see in this? Mm-hmm. Now, these three texts that you just got, we're going to combine them. Out of these three, three different reasons why medieval Europe is in the Dark Ages. Now you have to pick, tell me why do you think it's in the Dark Ages? Pick one of these sources that best represents your opinion and just write about it. So somebody else would probably be like, all right, I'm going to give them a whole packet of DB, like all these articles to read, answer questions. It's like, you're redoing it again. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing more work with it? I already gave you all of these assignments to read and to annotate and to answer questions on. Now let's build off of these three and what's the word? And then synthesize, make something out of these three.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm not going to go and refine another whole bunch of like six articles for you to read.
Well, so why, my question then would be, why aren't you teaching them how to look for articles?
They're not at the age where I think
disagree.
Research.
I disagree. I vehemently disagree.
And
when
I
we
say,
set expectations for our students, they always exceed them.
That's true.
And so if we put up, even if it's something simple, like find three different resources,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the discussion of whether or not, is this a viable resource?
Right.
Like someone's going to say something like, oh yeah, I found something on, I don't know, Deadspin. Is that a reliable source? Maybe not. And then the whole Wikipedia thing. Yes, no. You can have those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
But teaching them how to do that, I think, is better than teaching them how to glue on the left column and then answer questions and stuff like that.
Ooh, I like it. I am very aroused.
Hashtag very aroused.
I am very aroused. I agree. Right now. All right. I'm going to switch it up.
Hit it.
Tired of talking to you about education. People can only listen to that shit for oh so much.
And then they're like, fuck, why am I at this party? A word?
Chris has to leave now.
Chris has to leave right now. So, give me, what do you listen to? Because you kind of look like a Morrissey kind
of
guy.
Oh, dude, of course.
You,
but
you,
see,
you look, I don't know.
I do have a Morrissey tattoo.
No, you don't.
I do.
I've not seen it.
Is he?
The Morrissey tattoo? Yeah. Is it like his face?
I don't need you to stop getting naked in my face and shit.
No, this is for a song called There's Light Never Goes Out from the Smiths.
Okay. Yeah, you got me on that one. I'm not a big fan. I like some of his shit. Hip hop. You fuck with hip hop?
I do.
Give me your
You know what? I was thinking about this on the way over.
Oh, good, because you knew I might ask
yes.
you.
Yes. And I was thinking, where was my first introduction to hip hop? Was in my uncle. He introduced me to Snoop Dogg, and it was his very first album. It was Doggy Style, right?
Okay.
So I love that album. Like, that's one of my go-to albums.
1993.
Yeah, but I wasn't into that music until I was like in middle school. Hip hop until I was middle school when I was like
fucking around with them Granger kids.
That's what it is. It's Paradise Hill kids coming.
Right.
No, it's just like
true.
It was a sense of like I'm like rebelling against my parents who only listen to Vicente Fernandez and Los Tigres del Norte, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to do something completely different. And then later on, I realized these lyrics make sense. I don't fit in, you know? Whether it be what I was into to NWA later on, I was just like, okay, this makes sense. Like, they feel like outsiders. They're being targeted. And I felt like that was me, you know? I'm this immigrant kid or son of immigrants who doesn't fit in. I'm not Mexican enough and I'm not American enough. So I'm an outsider.
Okay.
You know?
So does social justice play a role in any of the lessons that you plan? Or, you know, maybe when you get some protection here on your first day of your third year, you might start doing a little bit more with social justice.
Well, I do it. No, I do it now because it's hard to kind of make a connection to, like, modern time when it comes to, like, ancient civilizations. But you find a way. You know, like, did people earn their position in the government because of merit or because they have money or because they're smart or because that's something from ancient China, you know? So I try to bring that in. Like, how does this relate to us? You know, like, oh, our current president, he's very successful. I'm like, well, yeah, he's very successful. But does that enough? Does it mean he has experience or he has, you know, the knowledge what it is to run a government? But is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
Or what about the smart people? Well, all right, but they don't have experience when it comes to anything else besides schooling, right? I try to. It's a little challenging sometimes, but I find a way to kind of make that connection.
All right. So give us your hip-hop, your favorites. You don't have to have a top five because maybe you're just not that into hip-hop, but tell us, man.
I am. You want me to get my playlist out?
You got a playlist?
I do. Hold on. Give me a second. This is like dead air, isn't it?
That's cool.
You know what I just listened to? And this is only because it was free. And I'm a poor teacher. Chance the Rapper.
Oh, right on.
I just started listening to the fact that this guy is like pretty successful and doesn't have a label. I think that's pretty interesting.
First person to do that. What, Too Short? Then E-40 after that? But yeah, that's a hard thing to do. If you think about that, those guys are hella old and you ain't never heard about it since.
That's true. But they're both from the Bay Area.
They are both from the Bay Area.
Interesting,
yeah. And I want to say they both ended up signing to Jive Records. Eventually.
Yeah.
I do enjoy some Tupac, and I do. That's like my go-to when I'm like, I need to get like a little amped up that day.
Mm-hmm.
I do play some Tupac. So you want like a top five like individual?
China, dude. Gotta get after that ancient China.
I do have to. I'll
fuck this lesson up.
Which hit him up?
Hit him up.
Which Tupac? Which one you mess with? Death Row Tupac? Pre-Death Row? What do you mess with? All eyes on me.
All eyes on me.
All eyes on you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with it. Who else you fuck with?
Didn't we have this conversation about Kanye too?
Yeah, but we didn't have it on wax.
Uh-oh.
We didn't have it
so
on the
Kanye.
Air.
So I think Kanye's first three Kanye. Albums. That's what I'm saying. First three albums are just like
soul Kanye.
Are like my I can listen to them like all the time, like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
So those first three albums are pretty good. There's not, you know, I don't know if you can't really compare to anything that's happening right now. And we already talked about this yesterday, that Kendrick's on a whole new other level, different level than every other rapper that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just got that album.
Which one?
Damn. No, the first one.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah, went because I didn't own it. My second period kids gave me a gift card, as collective gift card to Apple Music. Nice. And the first thing I did was buy that album.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's making the podcast for sure. That's not getting edited out. That's dope. The first thing I bought was the first Kendrick album.
I did, because I had heard one song, and I was like, okay. I mean, dude, I have two kids. I have no time to... I was like, I was all about music, and I loved music, and I just stopped listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered I heard this one song, and I loved it. And then I just bought the album, and every single song I love, and I can play it over and over again and not get tired of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That good?
I think so.
I like about five on that, and that's a lot. And to me, that's a successful album. If you got five, mm-hmm. six bangers on there, yeah, I think so.
You did some work.
Anyway, this beer is amazing. I don't know why you're not having any of this.
I want some of that fall. So we can take us a spa break, and I can pour some of that fall here.
Pause. We're
coming back from break, episode 20. End of the school year roundup. We're here with Mr. Moreno's class, aka Mr. Moreno.
I'm on Twitter.
Aka Young Rick Ocasek from the Cars.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Aka Baby Morrissey. And this.
That's what I wanted. You wanted that one.
That's like
you
wanted that one.
That's
real
like
bad.
A national city name.
And this is your man Caesar Does It on them Twitters. A.K.A. Mr. F, A.K.A. Brown Slime, and Mr. Rodrigo, Mr. A.
What up?
So we're going to get back into this. We're going to talk a little bit about your experience as a second-year teacher and the induction program that we just started here in this district. I mean, it just...
Restarted,
but for him, it's his first experience with it.
A word?
I went through BITSA. You got a nice little cute little box. There was a whole bunch of writing. Didn't really get nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did 1 year of it because in my district, they forgot to get at me in the first year. They just forgot, bro.
Nice.
Forgot.
And then they said, you know what? Well, fuck it. We'll waive it.
They didn't say that at first. They tried to tell me you got to do 2 years. And I said, no. I've been teaching for a year already. I got some experience. You
back up, son.
Yeah. Step off.
Step off, B.
So then they said, okay, we'll only make you do the second year of it.
Motherfucker.
Well, it's the same thing with Mr. Moreno's class here, right? So you only have to do... They caught you in your second year.
Well, it's 2 years, and I've done this is my second year, so I finished my first year of induction. I do one more.
They started it last year?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm lost for that.
There goes my story.
But yeah, so I'm starting my second one, and they do it by quarters.
See, now it's all ass backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us about your experience during the induction program.
So they give you kind of like a what is your goal? And I didn't know. They give you like all these like CTEs to pick from, right? And mm-hmm. So I pick one, and they say, all right, I want to focus on backward mapping and why I'm teaching. Like, what am I teaching? Like, what is my goal? What is my end result? And work my way back. Because I've always taught, you know, like, I need to work my way up to something, but I never know what that something is.
Right.
And like I feel like I have good lessons. I'm pretty creative, but sometimes they lead to nothing because I don't plan towards my assessment.
And that was for
Exactly.
Nothing. Thanks, no,
exactly.
Guys.
Like, showing up. Yeah, seriously. Like,
you guys are the best.
I did a whole lesson on Fourth and Fifth Amendment when I taught government last year, and I did like a whole NWA analysis. So we talk about NWA. We talk about like, you know, we talk about like some of these lyrics and why these lyrics represent these rights being taken away. And I did this whole lesson. It was awesome. At the very end, none of that lesson matter when it came to like the final assessment.
But did they learn about it?
But it did. But see, but
okay, that's all that matters,
right? But and it was entertaining and it was fun. I loved it, and that was like their favorite lesson that they remember. But when it comes to the whole grand scheme of like what I wanted to get out of it at the very end, it didn't. Like if I gave them a quiz or give something, it didn't really fit.
It should have been like that. You should just kept it like that. Just do all your things like that.
But,
whatever it was.
But now I know that if I do this lesson again, my end result should coincide with this lesson.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like this whole memes thing. If I had a meme project, it has to fit towards like my end goal. So
anyway. So the but you're enjoying the induction.
I stuff. Do. I mean sometimes I like I said, like I hear things and we try like a strategy and it works, mm-hmm. and I just do it the next day. Okay. I mean it's a lot of work. And I think it's
see, but is it that's what I want to know. Is it work just to do work? Because that's how I feel like it was for me, and it's just, you know,
what feedback are you giving to the program?
Well, I say like when we go to prison, we go every single quarter. We go and have a.
I'm gonna need you to stop beating on the table, though. Okay, I've been wanting to tell you for half an hour.
I just talk with my. Fuck. All right, I'll put my hands up here.
Yeah, just
so chill. What are you giving back to the program?
Put a pillow down. Relax.
Shit your thighs.
We do a round table at the end of each year or in each semester.
Uh-huh.
And then we do a like seminar every quarter. So we listen to, you know, we have like strategies, we discuss strategies. Each quarter is like a different theme, like equity and about like technology and all that stuff. So some of this stuff, I mean, I apply, but not everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess for me, it's just the seminars sound cool. The meetups mm-hmm. sound fine. That's cool. I just don't like doing busy work just for the fucking sake of doing busy work. So that's where I would push back on all that stuff.
And another thing that's important to me is what kind of connection are you making with people in the district? Are you making a connection with other people that are in this induction program?
Oh, for
you?
Sure.
Like creating like a,
oh,
like
yeah.
a class?
Yeah. Like we group by social science, or we group by something. We don't group with anybody who is in our grade level.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten to meet a whole bunch of people who have like different ideas, and I use their ideas like the next day.
And or you keep in contact with them via email or whatnot?
Yeah, like I constantly do that. Like I make it an effort to do that.
I think it's important is to create a structure that people can rely on for years to come, right?
Right.
The thing about BITSA was that I was never connected with any other teacher. Mm. It was just me and the master teacher, and that was it.
Mm.
There was no seminar. There was no meeting up. It was just kind of very isolated and was useless.
Yeah, no, we get to work and talk to other people and then collaborate with other people. But like I've gotten to meet a lot of seventh grade teachers, and we all kind of like collaborate together. We have like an online like folder where we all like add things that we find and translate for each other. Well, me because I'm teaching in Spanish. But yeah, it's been working okay when it comes to that aspect. You know, some of the work, do I need to collect evidence? Well, about what I'm doing. I don't think so, but it works. If that's what they need, I have it. You know what I mean?
Okay. And does the program in any way work with you as a dual language instructor? No, right? Are you connected with any other dual language instructors?
I have via
the program?
No.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, there's something that they can look at right there. Right? Right?
We found a weak spot.
No, not even it.
No, I do that.
But how many people are actually participating in
bilingual
immersion, right? Uh-huh. Or dual immersion, and then how many people are actually going through second year BITSA and on the same track as him? So
yeah, very small.
A very small percentage. So I imagine they're doing the best they can, but
he might be the only one.
Yep.
But we have our own like little community with the bilingual and dual language people. So I talk to them, and we have like an ongoing folder as well that we're kind of trying to get some stuff done.
Right on.
So what's your takeaway, man, from this year of teaching, man? What's your big takeaway here?
It's a big change coming from last year, you know, like being at the high school. And
talk about that, man. Talk about moving from high school to middle school.
I like the fact that I have one prep. You know, like that's like the biggest, if anything for a new teacher is having one prep. That's so
and helpful. I know it's very typical when you go to a high school as a new teacher that you kind of just get the shit that's left over.
You get
3 to 4 preps.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's left.
And possibly 2 to 3 classrooms.
Right, because I remember being in the and my student teacher, when I was a student teacher, and we're all filling out our forms, like, what do you want to teach next year? I'm like, why are you filling this out? I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. Mm-hmm. Probably not. Mm-hmm. And I just saw like all of these, like, oh, I want to teach this, this, and this, and this. And then, you know, they call me like 3 days into the semester and the year starting the next year. Like, hey, we want you to come and cover these classes. And they had 3, and then they gave me 2 more. And it was just, I had 3, you know, I had 2 government classes, 2 geography classes, and then 1 U.S. history. And then it's just like, all right, make it work, dude. Like, you have no time to plan, like, really put your heart into one, but try to make it. Mm. And I did. Like, I feel like I did. And now coming into this position where I have a contract and I'm hired on, like, they've sought me out. And now I'm here and I have 1 prep. Well, 1.5 because I have to translate everything that exists or that doesn't exist or I have to create it myself. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's nice to have something that's just like, I can chill a little bit. I can't imagine myself having 3 preps and having 2 kids. And
all right, so I'm gonna keep pressing you because that's not really a big takeaway. I'm gonna keep pressing. Yeah. Or at least tell me how you feeling about this year. Did you feel successful? Did you feel like your teaching your kids got something out of you?
I did.
I think you're gonna have to come a little harder than that, bro. Okay. On the Educated Guests podcast. Well, that was a little bit of warning track power. Well, for sure. Warning track power.
So I have to go Giancarlo Stanton power. Do you know baseball? Anyway.
I don't know.
I do.
Okay. Good.
So
one person got the job.
I feel like my kids learn a lot. And I think it's a very tough... 7th grade is very tough. Because these kids are... You don't know if they're being lazy. You don't know if they're just not getting it. Or you don't know if they're just having a difficult time transitioning from elementary to 7th grade. That is very, very, very hard. And I feel some teachers don't feel these kids have like the potential to do something difficult. And we just shortchange them because they're 7th graders. And I just went all in. And I just said, we're not going to the book. We're not going finding answers. We're going to go full on. And we're going to go. And you know what? You may have never written an essay before. Here's your first shot. And we're going to write an essay. And we're going to constantly write. And these essential questions are going to be written. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a paragraph. It's going to be 2 paragraphs. We're going to figure it out.
All right.
And based on all these like readings, difficult readings that we're going to do.
Rodrigo, how you feeling about this year, man?
Good, man. I was like...
You love your job. I know.
How you doing, man? How's everything going, man? If I was any better, you'd hate me, man. You know what I'm saying?
So...
I was doing all right, yeah.
How you feeling?
Good, man. I'm just ready to kind of decompress this summer. So this summer, I'm going to do a lot of writing. And just kind of prep for next year. We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's...
And then what about you, man?
What about me? I've had a really good year teaching, doing this podcast. I've really learned to step outside of my comfort zone in terms of pressing other adults on campus, having them press me. I mean, that sounds a little moist and shit.
I like that.
Right?
Well, yeah. Okay. Tell me more about that.
And I sent Rodrigo this weird text the other night, you know, told him thank him. I thanked him for everything he's done. Told him his line of questioning has pushed me to would you, are you going to read it? Are you going to fucking call it up?
I was going to do it right now because I just thought it was funny, but, you know, I don't have
to. So I think that your line of questioning here on the podcast and just in our personal conversations has led me to realize that I need to step out of my comfort as a veteran teacher and not just be so formulaic in what I do and to take into consideration more like what my kids are telling me by their performance, right? I can't just keep giving them more of the same. Got to switch it up a little bit here. I thanked him the other night ago. it was a bromance moment for me.
It was funny because
it was to the point where he texted me back and I didn't even want to respond to him. I'm like, fuck out of here, bro. I don't even want to talk to you.
It's like the emoji with the hard eyes.
It was weird. That's exactly what it was.
Te amo.
Te amo. It was
like, shoot.
But what did you do? What did you do different? How did you go beyond what you normally do?
Well, for one, I let them create their own review this year, as opposed to me giving them
something to do.
Like I mean, literally like 5 packets on every unit test we've done. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So
whack, son.
That's whack, it's son. It's hella whack. And I've always recognized my limitation as a reviewer. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not what I do well as a teacher. I just don't. Mm. And it's shown on some of these EOCs, but I could really give a shit about performance on EOCs. I really could. You know what I'm saying?
But it's a standard metric, man. That way you can figure out best practices.
It correlates 80% to the SBAC.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
We can figure out what strategies you're using and what strategies I'm using, man.
These are the strands that you did poorly on. So could you please, you know, write
fucking
back.
Figure it out. Wait. Are you serious? Damn. So go ahead. What did you do?
No, I mean, I'm just...
The reviews. You like the reviews.
The reviews was... I talked to them about the way that the wording of the questions was going to be on the exam. Mm-hmm. Like, I said, hey, look, I already got a sneak peek at this, all right? And I think it's a really good exam, actually, guys. Let's talk about the way that we can reword some of these questions that I've given you on previous tests to make it look more like what you might expect from what, right, you know, right. What I or just
different
said.
Different versions of how you
So said. One of the things is that my questions, there's always just one right answer to choose.
Mm.
But on the EOC, there's 2 or 3.
Right?
Mm-hmm. There's like 8 different choices, and like the answer could be A, B, and F. You understand what I'm saying? How can we reword this question so that there's multiple answers? Okay? And let them make up those questions from there. And like we said before earlier in the podcast, as you go through the periods, you get to asking the kind of questions that bring out better responses, right? So anyways, that's what I did different, and I felt really good about my review this year, and it actually showed on the EOC. I mean, not that I give a shit, but it actually showed on the EOC.
You're like, oh, fuck. Guys, here's about the test I don't care about. You guys fucking did well. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So, you know, we're rounding out the year. We're not rounding out the podcast necessarily, but I'm going to talk about it as a whole year going on. I want to thank you for inviting me to the Boost Conference. It was one of the highlights of my educational year there. I made some connections with some really good people that I think that I'll be in touch with for a long time. So, yeah, that was one of my big takeaways. I want to thank all of the people that let me interview them. I did get rejected a couple of times. I don't know if I told you that. But
No, that's cool, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like that.
I like it, too. I actually do
by
like
who?
That.
Names? No.
Names? So I wanted to interview somebody who was really big from the ACLU when Donald first got elected. Ooh, I said his name. 45 first got elected. And you know, I got rejected in the sense that, well, you know what? I'm really busy right now with all this Donald stuff. So I'll get back to you when I'm not so busy. So basically, it's like, I'm not going to hear from you. You're going to be busy as fuck for the next 4 years.
Or less.
Who else? I didn't necessarily get dissed, but what's his name? The professor who did the in-service when he came back, the speech.
Duncan Andrade.
Duncan Andrade. Yeah.
He was a little busy.
He's a little busy.
He's a little busy.
I played myself, son. I showed up with a backpack full of equipment and was like, yo, you got time for this interview? He's like, I got to catch a plane.
My man. He came
You were supposed to help me on that, though, man. For real, Rodrigo.
This dude came in, and I did. I hocked him down. I was like, okay, I'm going to wait this out. My man came up there, like, right in the middle of the crowd. Hey, want to record? I want to interview for a podcast. He's like, nah, money. I got to catch a plane.
I want to tell you that it didn't seem that lame, but you know what? It probably was exactly that.
Hey, man. Just hold on to his backpack. Hey, man. I really want to record you. I loved everything you said.
That was, okay. It definitely wasn't that. Now you're making me sound like Chadwick or something like that.
You were so amazing on the stage.
All right. So, Mr. Moreno's class, you listen to the fucking podcast.
I do.
What were some of your favorite moments or episodes or things you can remember? Anything, okay? Just make me feel like you're actually listening.
Well, last week you had, or the last one you had, that teacher from Castle Park High.
Nikki Eddy.
Which was like really, really, really cool to see, to hear her going from a LGBT club to a GSA, or like a GSA social club, justice, yeah. To a social justice club. Because next year I'm starting a GSA club at East Lake Middle.
Dope.
Nice. Yeah.
So. And hopefully, and maybe it can evolve. Maybe it won't.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
Doesn't, either yeah. way it goes, you're going to be providing.
I hit her up after the podcast, and I was like, dude, that was an awesome podcast. Yeah, me too. Thank you. And then
no, you didn't.
I swear, I put that on. Said,
you put that on.
I shot her an email, and she was saying, you know, she couldn't get stuff funded, and I was like, that's funny. You should be contacting your after school program. They should be able to fund all your travel. And she was like, oh, work? I'll look into it. And I'm like, let's see what happens. So hopefully she, all of her funding for all those, the trips that she wants to take her kids, because it's a club, should be.
You're a pro at this. You shouldn't be socking the mic over there, Rodrigo.
I can't be. What's wrong with you? Stupid mic.
Did she get back to you?
No, not yet.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, bro. Sorry. Hopefully after this podcast, she will.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry, dude.
Oh, man.
So you like that one. Did you like any of the other ones, man?
Is it more than one? No.
Forget you. So I'm going to say this.
That's a stretch.
So what was interesting, I've told you this before, what was interesting is I did get a few callbacks after I published the episode.
Yeah.
I got a few callbacks from people.
Hey, man, can you edit that? Can you edit that out?
Can you edit that part?
Damn, I know I said about, I don't like Twinkies that much.
Right? So you know what? It's important that, you know, I tell people, look, I'm going to send the episode to you before I air it. But I usually like to, like, air it as soon as I'm done with it. So I give them, like, a day to listen to it. And that's really not enough, but I can't.
Sure, it's not. Not for someone who's actually busy, who has a job.
It's a podcast, bro. You just pop it. You just, yeah, Bluetooth it in your car or something, man. But anyways, so I got a couple of calls. Can you edit this out? People have been contacting me and saying that I shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's kind of cool that they actually... I mean, I think it's cool that they called you back, because that means you were having good discussions with people.
That means that their people were listening, and that's kind of the point. You know, like, I interview people from different circles to get, you know, other folks listening to education, listening to podcasts, you know what I'm saying?
If they have any guests that were educated, mm-hmm. they should probably be on the podcast. Who would you want to hear from? Christian?
I don't know.
Or Mr. Moreno?
I don't know. I don't think I've been around enough to know who...
Who would you like to hear from is the question. Like, what would you like to learn about? Because that's what we want to do. I'd want to have someone on the thing that I can learn from, pick brains of.
Yeah, veteran teachers who are not afraid to try something new.
I think it's time for Mikey Strong to come on.
Stranger. After birth.
Mr. Strong.
My department head is so awesome.
Who is your department head?
Sandy Flynn.
Okay.
She is so, 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 so good.
Mark it down. We'll have our people call her.
So we about to launch up out of here, man.
Your boys got sauced. Zooted.
Hey, the same way I started episode 1 is the same way I'm going to finish episode 20. I'm a little saucy from the fall brewing and the Cavazier. The ratio's been 18 to 1 tonight.
There you go.
My man Rodrigo, I want to thank you for being a part of the Educated Guest podcast.
My man.
You make it what it is, my man. I love what you bring to the table. Mr. Moreno, thank you for being a dedicated listener and an awesome, awesome new teacher for our students.
That's cool, man. Keep on doing it, man. Don't forget.
All right, so get at us on them Twitters, as they say. Give it to me.
Mr. Moreno Class.
Okay.
At Mr. AAA.
And Caesar Does It. Thank you guys for listening to episode 20, Educated Guest Podcast, the end of the year roundup. Peace.
Hot mess burger.
You lush.
You lush. My man. Nah, man. When he sent me that text, hey, I just want to say thanks, man, for everything.
It was like a